I don't know how you can speak on Christian education without reading Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 and Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. And so we'll read these two verses, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then if you'll flip over to Proverbs chapter number 9, we see not only that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but in Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse number 10, the sister verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Heavenly Father, we're going to spend some time just rejoicing, Lord, tonight. And we thank you, dear God, for not only the 40th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but the 35th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist School. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the way you've used this ministry, Lord, in the lives of scores and scores and scores of young people over the years. And thank you, dear God, for the influence that it had in my life as I was able to attend the school here for a couple years, Lord, in the beginning days. I pray, Lord, for your blessing upon it. Lord, may we rejoice together as a congregation. And then, Lord, rededicate ourselves and ourselves as a congregation to the idea and the biblical principles that support Christian education. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This has been a wonderful ministry. I was thinking about this afternoon, and honestly, just kind of thinking about Dad and back in 1977. Here he started a church in 1973. And had never graduated from Bible college, took some night courses up at Indiana Baptist College and Ford Porter's old school and driven back and forth and taken some classes there. But just basically stepped out by faith, him and Mom, these many years ago and started Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think of the people that were there in the early days, many of those still here, and how they supported that ministry and stayed with it. And then I think, here 5 years into this miraculous church, and it was a miraculous, honestly, a miraculous ministry to see what God did in the first 5 years of this ministry. If you haven't brushed up on your history, we have a little tab on our website that gives you some history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think it's good every once in a while to read that and appreciate what the Lord did in those early days. But here 5 years into it, when nobody in this area really probably knew about or understood Christian education, my dad got on an airplane and flew to Louisville, Texas, and got off and spent a week of intense training and came back with 1 week's worth of training and gathered the core people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and said, you know what? God's moved in my heart that we start a Christian school. Now, folks, you may not understand it in the context of where we are today, but those were pioneer ministries back in those days. Those were new ideas. I mean, nobody was doing that in this part of the country. And for Dad to take the step out and take the lead in that, understand it, and really be a visionary in Christian education, understanding the importance of it, and then these many years later to be able to look back and see the impact that it's had throughout the history of our church has just been a wonderful thing. I wanted to demonstrate it this tonight, so I'm going to do it in this way. And I don't care if you did it in 1977 when it first started all the way to here, but any time during the history of Blessed Hope Baptist School, if you worked in the school, I mean volunteer worked, I mean maybe you came in and taught a shop class, maybe you monitored, maybe you helped in some area, you volunteered in some fashion or was on staff at some time or taught at some time, would you stand across the auditorium? Would you stand? That's really quite remarkable, all of the folks that have volunteered their help. Now, I want you to stay standing. How many of you have at some point that are not standing, have attended or are attending Blessed Hope Baptist School? Would you stand right now, those of you that have in the past attended or are attending Blessed Hope Baptist School right now? Isn't that tremendous? And then there's a few of you that's probably still seated. You say, preacher, I didn't do those two things, but I had children in Blessed Hope Baptist School. Would you stand at this time? As you can look around and see, folks, there's a lot of people that have made a lot of investment in this school over the years. And I just wanted to look at you and say thank you. And I mean that. Thank you from the depths of my heart for those of you that have labored and sacrificed and volunteered and attended and supported this ministry. It's been a blessing And like most things around here, it's not a handful of people or one or two people doing it. I thank God that we have a congregation that is invested in what's happening around here. Thank you and God bless you, and I appreciate you standing for a few minutes. I thank God for what this ministry has done in my life. I love to speak on the subject of the importance of Christian education. We're teaching a series or preaching a series on Sunday nights, the 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years. And folks, because of the direction of the culture and because that the world is waxing worse and worse, a lot of those subjects that we are putting under the microscope and letting the Bible speak to are not positive subjects. So it's kind of nice to be able to walk up here on a Sunday night and be able to talk about something that's positive and exciting and blessed, because there's not all bad news in the last 40 years. You see, where sin did abound, watch this, grace did much more abound. And the worse that it gets, it seems like, you know what it does? It causes God's people. I'm talking about that true remnant to step up. And one of the things that really has become a miracle across the nation in the last 40 years is folks that are choosing Christian education for their young people and understand the basis of it. I have for years identified, and I've preached this and taught this throughout the years here as an assistant pastor. Dad would have me preach this message about every other year, and I've gone to other churches that have had Christian education Sundays and preached this message. But I believe if you're talking about Christian education, you want to have an understanding of it, you have to understand the key elements of it. And I believe that Christian education offers seven distinct advantages, very scriptural tenets of Christian education that I'm going to mention. We won't spend a ton of time on any of them, but there's a reason that my dad got on that airplane and flew to Louisville, Texas. There's a reason that a group of parents gathered together in that very first year of the school and took that amazing step of faith to put their children in Christian education. There are very solid reasons for it. Every once in a while I'll get a call from somebody and they are interested and at least want information about our Christian school. And after I meet with them or talk to them, sometimes on the phone, just in the conversation on the phone, I realize that they are not basing their decision on biblical principles. I like the calls that I get where their kid got kicked out of the public school and so they need somewhere for them to land until next year when they're allowed back in. Our Blessed Hope Baptist School is not a reformed school, okay? That's not what we're here for. I believe if you put your young people into Christian education, you ought to do so based on conviction. Because if you don't do it based on Bible convictions, you won't stay with it. If it's just a convenience thing, it's just, I think it's a little better than the public school, and I think they might get a little better education, and that's as deep as it goes, you won't stick with it. But if you have Bible convictions about Christian education, you know what? You'll be in it for the long haul. Now, there's several things that Christian school provides that's not provided in public school system. Number one, we provide a system that is based on the fear of the Lord. On the fear of the Lord. Now here the Bible is very plain on this. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, is the beginning of knowledge. Now folks, you can't run a race if you don't have a starting line. Okay, and you're never going to make a journey and arrive at the destination if you don't take that first step. Well, where is the beginning of knowledge? Well, the Bible clearly identifies the beginning of knowledge as the fear of the Lord. Not only is it the beginning of knowledge, but Proverbs 9:10 umps the ante a little bit, because folks, people can have knowledge and not be wise. But the Bible says it's not only the beginning of knowledge, it's the beginning of wisdom, and it's the foundation of the entire philosophy of Christian education. One of the things that is important that we construct here is a God-fearing, watch this, a God-fearing environment in all of the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, let me remind you what that means. To fear the Lord means to have a reverential respect for the Lord. I mean to fear Him because of who He is, to have an understanding of His power, His omniscience, His omnipresence. You see, if a young person really gets that, really has that, watch this, I'll help you young people if you listen to me. If you really have that, I'm talking about you have a reverential respect and a true fear for the Lord based on His character, based on his righteousness, based on his holiness, based on his omnipresence, and based on the fact that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good thereof, and you have that as a foundational characteristic of your life, you know what? Then, watch this, we can educate you. Then you are in a position to begin to learn true knowledge. You're in a position to grasp true wisdom. If you do not have that, you know what? You have made it impossible for anybody to truly educate you. There is not a fear of God nor a philosophy of the fear of the Lord in our public school system. You can be a supporter of the public school system, but you know what? What I'm going to say tonight is inarguable. Okay, there is not a basis, a foundation underneath the public school system built upon the fear of the Lord. And so if you have a fear of the Lord, you know what? Then you'll come to school and you will have a heart to keep the rules. You'll have a heart to give respect. You'll have a heart to stay within biblical guidelines. You'll have a heart. Listen, it won't matter whether or not the teacher's in the classroom or not, because God's always in the classroom, and you understand that. It's good that you want to please your parents, and it's good that you want to please those in authority by doing your best, but if you have a fear of the Lord, what you'll want to do is please Him ultimately, and that will be the inspiration. That will be the motivation of you studying and staying within the rules and having proper respected and following the guidelines. All of that is built on the basis of the fear of the Lord. And I believe one of the things that God has allowed us to do here in Christian education is to produce a God-fearing environment with which then young people can then learn. I think if you're going to have a God-fearing environment, you have to have proper rules, and you have to enforce those rules. You have to have proper discipline, and you have to execute that discipline. You ought to insist on proper respect, and you ought to have proper guidelines and see that young people follow within those guidelines. Now, young people, let me encourage you that are attending Blessed Hope Baptist School, if you can gift your pastor something and gift your parents something and gift this school and this ministry something, show up on the first day with having had a revival of the fear of the Lord in your heart. Because if you fear the Lord, then all of a sudden you give us a basis upon which we can then begin the educational process. Number one, why Christian education? Because Christian education provides a God-fearing environment. Number two, I like this, scriptural saturation. Scriptural saturation. You see, folks, there is one main textbook here at our Christian school, and that would be this textbook right here. There's other textbooks, there's other paces, there's other programs, there's other things that you're going to learn, but this is, without apology, the main textbook at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Now, there's no way in the world that anybody who's honest in the public school system can hold up the Word of God and say this is the primary textbook of the public school system. Matter of fact, just the opposite is true. The Word of God has all but been banned from the public school system. Some of you are old enough that you remember and have some memories, like some of my early memories, where I went into the Bee Ridge Elementary School, and you know what? On every desk of every teacher at the Bee Ridge Elementary School was a copy of this King James Holy Bible sitting right on the desk. Many of the teachers, without apology, without even thought, wouldn't have thought of starting the day without opening the Word of God and sharing some scriptures. Because you know what? They understood something. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. They understood something. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so when the Supreme Court decided that the Bible no longer had a place in our public school system, then listen, what I often say is this: we didn't leave the public school system, they left us. I mean, Bible-believing parents that believe the Scripture and know that all of the child's learning and education should be founded and saturated with scriptures, did not really have an alternative. Deuteronomy 11:18, I'll read some verses to you tonight. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The idea of properly educating a young person absent of this book, absent of a saturation of scripture into their minds, into their hearts, is a pretend education. This is the most important book that you can ever touch, that you can ever read, that you can ever lay your hands on. I like Christian education because I like Christian curriculum. I like to pick up not just this book to start the day, but every other textbook, every one of your paces, young men and young ladies, that you'll be handed, Blessed Hope Christian School, Blessed Hope Baptist School, you'll open it up and you'll find the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God taught throughout every single subject. You see, the basis of science ought to be the Word of God. The basis of math ought to be the Word of God. The basis of understanding social studies ought to be the Word of God. The basis of the English language and understanding the English language can be taught through the Word of God. Listen, each and every subject ought to not only teach what it claims to teach, but also strengthen the young person's knowledge of the scriptures. And so, you know what? Praise God. We get up in the morning, and the first thing we do is pledge allegiance to the flag and the Christian flag and pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Before the young people are dismissed from opening an assembly, they've stood to their feet and they've recited together portions of scripture that they're memorizing together. When they get to the classroom, before they do anything else, before they reach for that first subject, there's a time of personal devotion where they begin to build a private personal relationship to this book and to the God of this book. You listen, folks, the scriptures are a part of everything that we do. Scriptural saturation ought to be a part of your child's education, and the Christian education provides that. Number three, godly instructors, godly instructors. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 5, Jeremiah wrote this, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the ways of the Lord and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Jeremiah 10:2, then saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. I don't know if there's anything in the world more precious that God gives a married couple than children. You remember that first day? You remember that day in the hospital? You remember, Mom, when you went through all that you went through, and you went through that valley of travail, and God gave you that precious child? You remember, Daddy, when the doctor turned around and handed that baby to you, and for the first time you held your own life's blood? Now, folks, listen to me. God didn't just give you a child. He gave you a responsibility. I'm going to stand guard. We decided it early on. We're going to stand guard over who has influence in our children's lives. We're going to choose carefully the people that stand before them as instructors. We're going to guard carefully who teaches them and has influence in their life. And by the way, one of the great things about a Christian education is, you know what? You can be assured that the instructors are Christians. And I don't mean Christians by name. I mean Christians by practice. And there's a wonderful thing about entrusting your young people to godly instructors. Now, I want to just challenge you to think about this. Folks, listen to me. There's Christian people that are putting their children on a public school bus, and their teacher, watch this, and these are some things that amaze me, and I'll just say them out loud. A lot of times their teachers, watch this, are atheists. I'm sorry, but they're atheists. They may do lip service, and they may tell you if you put them on the spot they believe in God, but take a look at their life. Listen, folks, you don't believe anything that doesn't move you to action. I said, you don't believe anything that doesn't move you to action. Anybody can claim to be a Christian. Anybody can talk about God. Anybody can learn all the speak, say. But you know what? I don't want somebody that just claims to be a Christian. I want somebody that lives like a Christian. That's who I want having influence. Teachers teaching children, Christian kids, and the teacher doesn't even go to church. I'm astounded by that. I'm astounded that Christian parents would put their children underneath the instruction of someone that does not have enough decency and enough character and enough fear of God to recognize the Lord's Day and to take that Lord's Day and go to the Lord's house. What do they have to teach my children? Why would I want them to have any influence on my children? You see, folks, if you're going to teach your children right, you're going to say, I want you to go to school and I want you to listen to the teacher. And I want you to respect the teacher. And I want you to learn from the teacher. Well, listen, you have to do that if you're going to hand them over to a teacher. But listen, wouldn't it want to be somebody that you'd be excited about saying those things about? And so thank God for the godly instructors. Thank God for all of the folks throughout the history of our school that have taught here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. And they've had an influence and an impact over the young people's lives. And listen, the young person's having a problem and they don't give them some psychological psychobabble or unscriptural counsel. What they do is to pray with them and point them to the scriptures and point them to their parents and point them to God. And let me say this, folks, thank God for godly instructors. And thank God for Christian education. Number four, I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But there's something called prayer-powered productivity. Prayer-powered productivity. It was a sad day when our Supreme Court decided that prayer had no place in our educational system. You say, oh, preacher, that's not 100% right. Young people can at least go to the public school and they can go ahead and choose to pray. And they still have, I'm glad about that. Thank God. And if you have to go to a public school, you ought to take prayer in there with you. You ought to pray. But wait a minute. Let's speak the truth here. Principal can't get up and pray in front of an assembly. And a teacher can't get up and pray in front of a classroom. And if you're having difficulty, a guidance counselor won't say, well, what we need to do is pray about it. Let's pray about this situation. And when we took prayer out of our public school system, I'm going to tell you something. We also took the power and the productivity that prayer produces. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here we see, I'm going to tell you, there's something extraordinary about a young person who really gets this and really taps into the power of prayer. It's wonderful to see teachers that believe in prayer and the power of prayer. But what an exciting thing when a young person grasps these concepts, when they say, hey, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask, believing, you shall receive. And they and their young faith begin to go before the throne of grace for every aspect of the day, for every part of their education. We teach our young people, before you start any subject, the first thing you ought to do is bow your head. I mean, open the page to the first page that you're going to get ready to do, and before you read the instructions, bow your head and say, Lord, please help me. I need to learn this. I need to grasp the concepts here. And God, I need your help in this. I pray that you'd help it so that my mind would grasp what I'm trying to be taught here, and that I would get it and fasten it to my heart, and that I would have it in case, Lord, you would have me use this in some future part of my life. Lord, help me to get this. And I'm going to tell you, there's something that happens when a young person decides to include prayer. Watch this, young people. I can help you with this if you'll let me. Let me just help you with it. You know what? If you go to a Christian school and you don't pray, you might as well be in a public school. I mean, we'll lead you in prayer to get the day started, and we'll pray during times, different times of the day. But if you don't yourself bring prayer into the school, you might as well go to a public school. Prayer-powered productivity. Prayer does and can make an amazing difference in the life of a young person's education. Now you, at the school here, let me just say this, you have a pastor that prays for you. You have a pastor that holds you up to the throne of grace. You have a pastor that many times when you're not here, long after school's been dismissed or early in the morning before anybody arrives, will go out to that school and he'll make an altar out of every single seat in that classroom and pray for you by name. Ask God to make a difference in your life and ask him to form you into all that you can be. You have teachers that are praying for you. I train our monitors this. I say, monitors, there's going to be times when it seems like you have nothing to do. There's no flags to answer. You're not monitoring break time. And you may say, preacher, there's time periods where I don't have anything to do. There's never a time when you have nothing to do. Because during those times when you're not doing something pressing, you can walk around that classroom behind every desk and pray quietly in your heart and pray for those students and pray for God's blessing and pray for wisdom and pray for direction and pray for protection in their life. Listen, if we saturate this ministry with prayer, I promise you, it'll make a difference. Young people, you've got parents at home praying for you. You're surrounded by prayer. You're carried by prayer. You're in a place where prayer is important and prayer makes a difference. And that's part of the advantages of a Christian education. Number five, let me give you this, character development. I mentioned this and talked to our students last Wednesday night. If you weren't here, I taught our students seven traits of a successful student, seven biblical traits. One of the things that I mentioned, spent some time was this. I'm more interested, and by the way, our entire system is set up here to challenge and develop your character as much as anything else in the world. Listen, I think it's more important to develop your character than to educate your mind. Watch this, folks. Listen, you can learn or you can learn to learn. Character allows you to learn to learn. People ask me sometimes, preacher, did you learn a lot of Bible in Bible college? This is what I learned in Bible college, how to learn the Bible. And you know what? Then from that point on, it was up to me to spend my life doing that. How much Bible do you think you're going to learn in 4 years or 6 years or 7 years? How much Bible do you think you're going to learn in that amount of? Listen, the thing wasn't how to learn the Bible. The thing was to learn how to learn the Bible and then to spend a lifetime. Listen, what I want you young men to graduate with is not just a diploma with high school credits, but with Christian character. Because if you have allowed your character to be developed, then you know what? Then most anything in life that you put your hand to that God leads you to do, you'll be successful in doing it. We're going to teach you how to work. Imagine that concept. We actually expect you to come and work. Yeah. I mean, that's what school is. It teaches you how to work. And when you get it, and when you flip that switch, and sometimes there's parents and they come to me and they're frustrated. They come to Brother Reiser and they sit in these parent-teacher conferences and they're frustrated. And I mentioned last Wednesday night about sometimes as a supervisor, I literally would have to micromanage junior high and high school students. I mean, literally come by every 3 to 4 minutes and motivate them and get them on the next question and refocus them and all these things. By the way, listen, don't come to me with your alphabet. Well, they were diagnosed, but don't come to me with your alphabet. Let me tell you what young people need. They don't need Ritalin. They don't need drugs. You get them upset if you want to right now. They need character. They need character. Well, you don't just understand. They're hyperactive, preacher. Well, I was hyperactive too. And my dad did not put medication on this end. He put something on this end. And I decided that I wasn't going to be as hyperactive as I thought I could get away with on that particular day. Listen to me. You know what? America's dying for character. You can't drug somebody into having character. Okay. I understand that there may be some students that struggle in a different area. Some things may not come as easily. I get all of that, but you know what will overcome that? Character! Character will overcome that. You know what? There ought to be something at some point. I love the way the system's set up here. Every day you've got a to-do list. Every day you've got a goal card. You know what, folks? That young people, that's preparing you for real life. Because every day of your life later on, you know what? You ought to have a to-do list, some things that you have to accomplish that day. And you have to learn how to pick one out and focus fully on it and complete it and get it done. Not only just get it done, but get it done correctly and then do the next thing. That's preparing you for real life. I like this about the ACE system. I like the fact that young people have to go up and score their own paces. I like right off the bat, at a young age, they have to learn to be honest. Okay. Sometimes we have young people that struggle in that area. We let you score your own paces, but of course, as you know, there is a fail-safe. There's nobody in the world that ever thought they'd beat the system that has beat the system, and sooner or later, be sure your sins will find you out. You say, why? Because you have an administrator that was in the school before you are, and there's nothing you can try that I didn't try first. So you're in trouble. And trust me, I'm more imaginative than most of you, all right? And so we know. But I think it's good. Hey, amen. Yeah. Guess what? You have to decide whether you're going to be honest or not. By the way, you're going to have to decide at some point whether you're just going to scan the material and try to find the answers and not learn anything, or whether you're going to take learning seriously. Oh, but I can do it faster this way. Yeah, but how are you doing on your tests? Okay, listen, the goal is not just to finish a pace. The goal is to learn the material that's in the pace. Listen, some young people will have that part of their character developed. And you know what? Because of that, they'll be set up for success later. They're always be in school looking for a shortcut or a way to end around something or a way to do it other than the way that we've laid out for them to do. But by the way, you'll spend the rest of your life with that character flaw if you're not careful. You spend your life looking for shortcuts, you're going to find out most shortcuts really just turns into a long cut. Okay? Shortcuts get you farther behind than ahead. I mean, it's going to catch up with you. If you put a half effort into your schoolwork, one of these days you're going to put a half effort into your employment or whatever you do in life. And you know what? It's going to catch up with you. And so what I want you to understand. Listen, well, I don't like the rules. I got news for you. Your entire life you're going to have rules. I can't wait till I'm an adult and I can do whatever I want. Oh, my goodness sake. Yeah, I'm sure. I talked to a young man the other day. I said, what are you going to be when you grow up? At a camp. I was at a camp. I said, just your junior high kid. I said, what are you going to be when you grow up? He said, a millionaire. I just looked at him. I said, seriously? He said, yeah, I'm going to be a millionaire. I said, so you looked at everything that's available out there that you could possibly do, and you've chosen a millionaire. He said, yep, that's what I've chosen. I said, how about a plumber? No, I want to be a millionaire. How about an electrician? I want to be a millionaire. How about a farmer? No, I want to be a millionaire. I said, wow, that's great. How are you going to make that? Make what? The million. And he just gave me a blank stare. I guess he thought you just fill out an application, you know, to be a millionaire. And if your application is accepted, they just send you $1 million, and then you spend the rest of your life being a millionaire. I don't know he literally looked at me mystified. He thought that was a job opportunity to be a millionaire. It doesn't work that way. All right. And let me tell you, your success in life to the large part is going to be dependent on you allowing your educational opportunities not just to give you knowledge, but also to develop your character, all right? Number six, I'm moving around here, Christian companions. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I like the fact that you have an opportunity, young people, if you take advantage of it, not only to be able to be educated amongst other Christian young people, but to be that positive Christian young person that influences other people. The Bible says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And listen, you, again, aren't going to be able to talk me out of this because, you see, I drove a public school bus for a number of years right out of Bible college. When we planted the church in Central Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana, when we planted that church, I spent the summers mowing grass, and I spent the fall, spring, and winter time driving a public school bus, and that's how I put food on the table, allowed us to be able to be in the ministry during those 7 years for the most part. I mean, I also did other jobs. I had a vending route at one time. I worked at a sawmill for a while. I did several things, but I drove the public school bus. Listen to me, folks. Let me just give you something in case you are delusional and you don't understand what's happening once you put the kids on the bus. I don't know what goes on in the classroom. I don't know what goes on at recess. But let me tell you this. What goes on a public school bus, I would not want my children exposed to. What just happens on the public school bus, I would not want. What they hear said on a public school bus. And you're talking about a dictator. You're talking about not just a bus driver, a dictator. I mean, I probably had the best behaved kids in the world. Every once in a while, I'd listen to other bus drivers. You know, they'd get there early and they'd all hang out on a bus. So every once in a while, I'd go over there just so I didn't seem to be unsociable. But all they did was whine about the kids and whine about the behavior, whine about how they were misbehaving and whine about how they this and that and the other. They'd look at me and they'd say, you have any problems? I'd say, no. Are your kids this? No. You know what, folks? You put up with what you put up with. I mean, Brother Gerald's been given a route over there. And he got, I don't know if I told you this, he's getting ready, he already started last Monday, driving a public school bus. And he's been given the shortest route of all of the routes over there. He's not on the bus an hour driving. The reason that the shortest route over there is the one that's available to him is because of where it goes. Does anybody remember the name of that holler or whatever they call it? There's some place. What is it? Lawrence Hollow. That's where he's taking the bus, Lawrence Hollow. Now, some of you have never been to Lawrence Hollow, but some of you have been, because when we went over there and knocked doors years ago, so we took a group back in there. I didn't even know what it was. Later on, when they told me about what it was, I thought to myself, thank God we got everybody out of there alive, out of Lawrence Hollow. And the principal brought Gerald in and said, I'm going to send you to Lawrence Hollow. And he started laughing because he knew what it was. I mean, you talk about, I mean, if you ever go back in there, what is it? It's a holler. When they say hollow, I say holler. It's a holler. And you drive back and they've got little roads that go off into the hills, and there's trailers back in there, and I mean, it's got a reputation. I'm sure, by the way, if somebody listening to this on tape and you live in Lawrence Hollow, I'm sure you are the most wonderful person that has ever lived. You are probably been sent there as a missionary to all the other people, and I'm sure if I met you, I'd be impressed with your Christianity and all of that, but that's not true of everybody that lives in. I mean, nobody, no adult person wants to go in there and pick up the kids and deal with them for less than an hour a day in the morning and an hour a day in the afternoon. And the principal is trying to warn Gerald. And he said, now you do have an advantage, a couple of advantages. He said, what's that? He said, you're big. And I thought to myself, yeah, that they're about to meet an immovable force, you know. He said, you also got an advantage because you're a preacher. And Brother Gerald kind of looked at him on. He said, trust me, you're going to need God. And Brother Gerald piped up and said, I've got a third advantage. He said, I've spent the last 8 or 9 years of my life working bus routes in inner city Lexington. And he said, I don't think anything's wait for me in Lawrence Holler that I haven't dealt with in inner city. And the principal was pleased to see, to understand that, and seems thrilled that he found somebody crazy enough to take that route. And what I'm saying is this, watch this. Listen, I'm going to tell you, crazy things. And our young people are being exposed to them. And things that, I mean, listen to me, I had to pull the bus over. Things that I've heard young men say to young ladies that, I'm going to tell you something, the trashiest, most wicked pervert in the world. I wouldn't have thought to say that, I would think, let alone somebody that's in junior high. Yeah. Things that are said to elementary kids that, you know what, and things that they're talking about that, God help us, they shouldn't even know about. Yeah. Oh, you want your kids to get an education, they're going to get an education, all right. Yeah. No, you don't understand. I signed a waiver against them attending the sex education class. Well, there's one going on the school bus. Yeah. Okay, what I'm saying is this. Listen, God's giving you those children. And you're going to stand before God, and you're going to answer about who you let have influence on your young people. You are, okay? You're going to stand before God, and you're going to answer to who you allowed to have influence on your young people. Christian companions. Number seven, I think. The discovery of a divine purpose. The discovery of a divine purpose. Now, here's a wonderful thing that happens in the midst of the process of Christian education. I'll wrap it up with this. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our entire goal, young people, and I say this and we announce it, we don't hide it, we advertise it, we tell you, on a constant basis. Our entire goal, if for those of you that are in Christian education, is to point you in the direction of God's divine purpose for your life. You see, God has a will for your life. God has something He's put you on this planet to do. Watch this. You're not an uh-oh. You're not just the latest process of a million and million and million year long evolutionary process. You're not just one step up from being an animal. You're made in the image of Almighty God. You have a never dying soul. God himself, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, with his hands formed you in your mother's womb and predestined and predetermined what he wanted you to do with your life. He has it all mapped out. He has it all laid out. But you know what? He also gave you a free will. And one of the things that ought to happen in the process of a Christian education is there ought to be that time when a young person recognizes these things, understands these things, and watch this, surrenders to these things, and gives and surrenders his life, presents his body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God. Says this, I'm not going to be conformed to the world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to prove, I want to discover, I want to live out the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for my life. And in the process of Christian education, of course, that's front and center. We want you to serve the Lord. We want you to serve Lord in the capacity that he's put you on earth to do. Young person, listen to me. I mean, it's very easy. You can put it in a nutshell. If you discover, find, and fulfill the will of God for your life, then you've lived a successful life. If you miss the will of God, if you trample it under your feet, if you walk away from it, I don't care what you accomplish in this life, you will end your life a failure before the judgment seat of Christ. And so these wonderful components of Christian education, a God-fearing environment, scriptural saturation, godly instructors, prayer-powered productivity, character development, Christian companions, and the discovery of divine purpose. This are the tenets. These are the foundations of Christian education. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us, dear God, the opportunity to have a ministry like Blessed Hope Baptist School. And I pray, dear Lord, as we're embarking upon another year, and as many of the young people in the next week or so will begin the process of another school year, Lord. Some of them are being homeschooled, some of them, Lord, in our own Christian school here. I pray, dear God, that they would understand and embrace the tenets, the foundations of a Christian education. I pray, dear God, that each and every one of them would contribute, dear God, because of their heart and their spirit and the condition of their life, and to truly contributing to the idea of a Christian environment, a Christian education. And Lord, I pray, dear God, how exciting to see many, many adults stand up across this auditorium who are now serving the Lord, who are now living out God's will for their life. And I think back and remember as they were at one time in our Christian school here, and all of the things that you did to prepare them and hone them for what they're doing now. What an exciting and blessed thing. I couldn't help but think of all of the young people, Lord, that have now gone from this place, many of them into full-time Christian service, many of them scattered into different ministries across this country, and some of them even in foreign mission fields. And at one time, they sat in a chair at Blessed Hope Baptist School. And Lord, thank you for allowing this ministry to have just a little part in preparing them for the things that they're now doing. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd give us, Lord, a great school year. Pray that our young people would come with a heart that's dedicated to the things of God. We thank you, dear God, for the parents. Bless each and every one of them. And Lord, for our staff, we want to have special prayer tonight, Lord, and blessing upon them as, Lord, they embark on another school year. We pray these things in Jesus' name.